Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. Make sure you hit subscribe and that you are able to receive this content fresh in your inbox every week. So good to have you with us. And today we're talking with Mattis Thielmann from Leipzig.
Leipzig,
I'm sorry.
It's difficult.
Yeah, Leipzig in Germany.
Yes.
He and his wife Marie have had a church here for how long, Mattis?
5 years now.
Yeah.
Just hitting the six years mark now.
Okay. Well, so good to meet you and to be with you in your city. And you've been here for 6 years. Where were you before that?
So we did college in Australia, Oxford Falls, been there 3 years, did the full experience. And then we traveled back to West Germany, close to Frankfurt. And we were pastoring a small Baptist church there. We just came in there, just helped out. And then it ended up that we were on staff and we just seen revival from 20 people when we started to 200 people on a good Sunday in a little village. But then God just had pushed on our heart to plant church. And so that's how we ended up here.
And you decided to go from the Baptist to become a C3.
Yes. To become
how did
C3.
That happen?
Oh, it happened because of the connection of college. Because we felt with C3, with the whole culture, identity, with the family vibe, we fell in love with it. So even when we came here, Pam Borrow made us a contact with Pastor Simon McIntyre,
who was
running Europe by that time.
Right.
And so we still been in the loop, and then we knew if we ever plant a church, it has to be C3 Church because it was a family.
That's brilliant. Now you got 4 kids?
Two.
Two?
Four. No, we do have 4 kids. We do.
Yeah, so your oldest is
13 nearly.
And your youngest is 1.
He's nearly 1, yes.
Big gap, 13 to 1. Although we had a similar situation, and we were so delighted when our third child came along.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes there are, you know, surprises.
They are.
Yes.
Yes.
But what a delight.
Oh, it is.
I was ecstatic when I knew Chris was pregnant. We hadn't planned it, but it was with our third child, Joseph, who's, you know, just such a delight to us today.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so tell me about your children. Boys, girls?
We have one girl,
Maya,
she's the oldest, and then 3 boys, Mateo, Malta, and Mats.
Okay, so I'm praying for your wife right now.
Yeah, you do pray then. Pray for her.
How have you found a growing church affect you? Has it been high pressure or stressful?
Actually, yes. So it is stressful for a lot of seasons. I feel like whenever you have to stretch out of the shoe you're in, you feel like you just fit it, but then growth still happen, and then you have to adjust again. So every time you feel like, oh, now we settle, growth is happening. And it's sometimes stressful because you have to invest in a lot of people, you have to invest in a lot of culture. Always have to remind people, what is our culture? What is our DNA? What is our vision? But at the same time, it's so joyful as well. And we try to teach our team and ourselves be more focused on the positive things, this what a growing church is bringing, because a growing church is also bringing rough discussion, or people they feel hurt, or bring negativity, and it's so easy to focus on them. But then you have others in your team, in your church, they are just loving it. They're just running the game. They're just going every mile with you. And just to refocus every time to those positive things and what God is doing.
It's important. Yeah, that's the job of a senior minister, because everybody in the world veers towards the negative.
Yes.
You can have 100 positive things going on, 1 negative that you start obsessing about.
Yes.
And so I just think as leaders, it's our job constantly to keep people focused.
Definitely.
On the vision and the positives that are going on.
Definitely. And that's what we felt. And this is what I think even during COVID and during everything that happened, we were always trying to focus with everything we were saying, with everything we were doing, be really gospel focused, be community focused, be culture driven, Holy Spirit driven. And we felt that this was for many, many people so refreshing.
Right.
Because everybody was negative, the whole right. society, everybody was whinging and raging against something. And we just tried to come with the attitude of thankfulness every time. And perfect. I think this was amazing. Yeah.
Perfect. Now, well, thankfulness definitely is the antidote to complaining.
Yes.
And complaining, my Lord, that just opens the door to every kind of negative force.
Everything. The whole family is usually coming with it, isn't it?
Depression, discouragement, yes. all of that, despair. And so the need to keep a mindset in your people that is positive is part of the task of every leader, as we just said. How would you do that?
I think what we try to do is, like, in every meeting, in every moment when you are with people, to have yourself in a positive posture makes such a difference. When people see you as a male leader, negative, whinging, stressed out or too much, and helping and being that person makes such a difference.
Right.
And what we do, we just talk really honest with the team about it.
Right.
We just had a season with a lot of moving and it was quite stressful. So we talked about with the church and with our teams about how painful sometimes stretching can be.
Right.
But while we're in the stretch, it's our decision. What kind of language do we use?
Sure.
Are we pulling each other up or are we whinging about the situation? And this was really, we tried to be really front-footed with we mention it, we're targeting it, and also explaining things and saying, we think we are too negative with this one. I think we could do better by explaining people a lot.
Brilliant. Yeah. If you locate the problem, you got a lot better chance of solving it. When you misdiagnose a problem, which often the world, you know, all around us keeps doing, saying, oh, you're like this because of that. And the dots don't join at all.
No, not at all. And the thing is, I found that often people, you see something in church, you see something in ministry, and you feel, oh, there's a problem. Oh, we should change it. Oh, but we don't talk about it. We try to just talk to him and talk to him. And we feel like often it's, if you have a meeting with your team, if you have a meeting with the volunteers meeting, we check through that. We're like, hey, this is what we should do and also why we should do it.
Right.
And this helps a lot of people. People are smart.
Yeah.
And if people get it, they love to anticipate in it.
Well, I mean, I'm amazed because I've been in Germany now for about a week and a half and in three different churches. And I have found that the German people are very hungry and open to God right now.
They are.
Very soft-hearted towards the Lord. People weeping in meetings and drawing near to God. And I've really been refreshed in my view of the nation. And like you say, having those conversations, people are way more open to actually hearing how we can
definitely
please God better, how we can do better.
And they are more open, I found, for spirituality.
Right.
Like if you think about Germans, yes, we're like, oh, always on the head and everything you have to think through and amazing in engineering and all of those things. But this is what we see, is there's so much heart happening at the moment.
Totally.
And people are so open for moving in the Holy Spirit. We just see a revival with the Holy Spirit.
It's fantastic.
We see every week people baptized in the Spirit, and because people are just hungry.
Yeah.
They're just hungry for something.
Yeah, they are. Chris and I were in a restaurant last night and we were witnessing to a couple on the next table to us. They were so open, so hungry. And I was going like, wow, this is not like Australia or America, actually, where there's just opposition.
Often.
But these people are saying it really, and that's how. And we prayed for them.
Wow.
So we feel so honored and privileged that you pray for us. And
you're amazing.
This is, to bring the presence of God into people's lives.
And this is what I found, people looking for real authenticity. They are not looking for the I don't know, the best
right.
production.
No.
They're just looking for, is it real?
Right.
Is it, if they feel your heart,
yeah.
I think like, oh, we just get that. Because
yeah.
they are drawn to authenticity for people, not just preaching Christ, but living Christ,
yeah.
for church there. That has values and cultures, but you see those.
Right.
They are not just written on a nice vision board.
Right.
You see them moving. Into
yeah.
them. People are so hungry for that. And we even found it, like Leipzig is such a liberal city.
Right.
And East Germany in general. And even to talk about topics like sexuality
right.
and all of this in church is like where a lot of people feel like, oh, we shouldn't do this. And we try to, let's talk about that. Let's have
right.
have serious about it. Let's be really honest,
right.
but be really grateful and not like the pointy finger.
Yes,
and people are really appreciating it
totally
because they feel like, oh, this is honest, this is raw,
yes.
this is authenticity.
Right,
preaching. I'm not just
right.
rules.
Just ignoring the problem. Too,
yeah,
you know, is it doesn't go away. It doesn't get better when you ignore a problem. And so you've called your church Home, C3 Home.
Mm-hmm.
What's behind that?
So when we started, we were C3 Leipzig, and we really liked the name. But then we ended up having three locations, three different
yes.
cities. And Leipzig is not like New York City
no.
or Sydney.
Right.
Or, so it doesn't work really well, C3 LPZ, whatever. So we figured, oh, we would like to have an umbrella name.
Right.
And then one of the biggest thing for us is this idea of home.
Right.
Like even on when you come in on our flags or whatever, it says welcome home, but it says it in the dialect of the region we're
right,
in.
Right.
And then we feel like, oh, this is our heart and the vision to reach East Germany for Jesus while people finding real home
sure.
in church.
Sure.
And that's where it was like, where we're like, oh yeah, we like the idea of church is home
yeah.
and people coming home. And we
so
know
good.
It's... with a lot of it's not just a normal home and
right.
what it brings, but this is what we really hope, that people find a home and in community.
Well, you've got a lot of refugees in Germany,
yes,
right? And now even more from the Ukraine, but I know your previous president actually encouraged
yeah.
Germany to take on, I think it was 800,000
yes,
refugees.
Well, yes, yes, before the Ukraine war, yes.
Right.
Like, it was a lot of refugees and was a lot of also debate and in Germany and also a lot of splitting in Germany.
Yes.
So there was a lot of people like, oh, this is too much on, or even on a very far right area about, oh, we can't have those refugees. They're going to destroy the German culture, whatever.
Mm.
Then you had a lot of people who were like, oh, we need to help.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite difficult to find the
yes.
middle ground.
Yes, but Mrs. Merkel felt like you could do it, didn't she? She felt like Germany, we can do this.
Yeah. And you know, actually, I think a lot of people, she had a really bad press because of this,
mm-hmm.
Merkel. She had really, but there was a part of me who was like, I like that she stood up for something
right.
she really felt was right.
Right.
And that, like, there was still a wave of people helping out and,
mm-hmm.
and organizing things and,
mm-hmm.
and bringing people in, especially then again when the Ukraine crisis hit. That was big for us because
yes.
there was trains in Leipzig coming in the middle of the night and,
right.
and refugees' family came out. So the first task force that was built was the churches here in Leipzig. They were there, they tried
mm-hmm.
to get them some places safe, feed them and
yes.
help them. So there was even quite a lot of good moments for churches to shine.
Right. I know a pastor in Uppsala in Sweden who put up water stations and health stations
yes.
on the refugee trail.
Yes.
And inviting them to church. So when they turned up in Uppsala, they actually just went straight to the church.
Yes, 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 I heard that.
You know him.
Yes.
Joachim. Yeah, and they are doing, they've done all sorts
amazing.
Of evangelistic things like that to reach out to the refugees, which is a crisis, but there's no point in us just talking about it. I think doing things about it can really help. And
yes.
I think calling yourself C3 Home can actually help people feel like, okay, there's a place for you here.
Yeah. And especially also in the East German mentality. So we're in East Germany, so everything here was once ruled by a communistic system. And I think home meant a lot for people.
Yes.
They felt, oh, if we talk something wrong to the wrong person, somebody will know, somebody will spy, somebody will think. But home was a safe place. And
beautiful.
We feel that so many people appreciate the idea, because for many people, they have no idea about churches, or often religious, more religious background, more old school churches. And for them to feel warmth and the big heart and that changes everything.
Yeah. Now we're going to do a leadership session tomorrow, and I know Chris will. She will move into talking about
the big hug.
I'll be talking about leadership and that. I'm looking forward to being in your church this weekend. And I'm interested to know why you think it's growing. Why has your church attracted so many like young adults and young families, whereas others maybe have not so well done in the COVID time?
Oh, it's a good question. I think in the COVID time, for us, the game changer was flexibility.
Right.
So we try to be as flexible as possible. Mm-hmm. So we shut down church. We decided on Saturday, because everything went crazy, or we can't do church on Sunday. And then we just organized a filming crew company, and then we just filmed a service, and we had it online on the first shutdown Sunday, and many other churches didn't. So in the beginning, in the first lockdown in Germany, we've been for many churches as well. The pastor sending our links around.
Yes.
We're like, oh, that church is a great online church.
Yes.
And we just put a lot of effort in it.
Right.
And we try to be so flexible with everything that happened. I think that helped just to react on everything, and that helped to gain a sense of momentum.
Yeah.
And we find that really helpful. We had a sense of momentum. We never ended up in the discussion about what should we do, what can't we do. We try to have, we do what we allowed to, and we try to make the best out of it. But you had everybody had the voice. Oh, you're doing too much. Oh, you're doing too less. This is, and you can't help the middle crowd.
So
we did a lot of that. And but I also find in general sense, we try to really engage people in the work of the church, and really help them to not just end up to a nice event, but to, we're really group focused, connect focused at the moment. Just our connect groups just exploded in the last 2 months.
Amazing.
12 months, we doubled them. We have nearly 300
in the last
people,
4 months,
and we have nearly 300 people in groups now.
Okay.
Just to see that and to get people connected, get people involved in the work of Christ. I think that helps a lot. And just be a young, fun, and vibrant church.
Right.
Even in the...
Young, fun, vibrant.
Yes.
That'll be your culture, right?
Yes, probably.
What I've seen, what I know about you, young, fun, and vibrant would definitely...
And the thing is, it's not only attracting young people.
Right.
A lot of old people, because they found it's so real, it's so authentic. With many people, they're like, oh, I'm coming here because I can bring my grandkids to church.
That's right.
Like, oh, they're amazing.
And old people love being around young people because... Boys them up.
Yes,
you know, it gives them new life, and they just love seeing young people having a good time. Okay, so bouncing back to something you mentioned about German engineering earlier on.
Yes.
Today we went to...
Oh, stop it.
We went to have a motorbike ride with a couple of motorbikes that are one of your good friends in church, and a cable went...
just ripped apart. Well, to be fair, it was East German engineering, so it was a really cold, great motorbike from the East German time. They're great, but
I've never heard of them.
No, but
Simpson.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, so we ended up to just starting it, and then the cable from the it just ripped apart. So we ended up with one. So you drove a little bit around the block. And that's about it. Then we're having the podcast because of a great motorbike.
Yeah, because we couldn't hire any
motorbikes.
They've all been hired out all around Leipzig. Yeah.
So if you ever have Pastor Phil and Chris over and plan a motorbike trip, just make sure that the motorbikes are working properly.
That was good. I even wore my motorbike t-shirt.
You did, you wore your dog shirt. He was all up and excited, you know, and raise up the homes and so smashing.
It was fantastic. Yeah, so, I mean, Germany is known for a lot of things. It's probably the wealthiest nation in Europe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it is.
Right here in this city, you're growing exceptionally fast because I think Porsche and
BMW,
a lot of, and I see Amazon delivery centers, and I think Tesla is not far from here.
Just a few hours, yeah, 2 hours.
And they, I mean, so many companies are setting up in the vicinity of this area. So the future is pretty incredible.
And I think this is the beauty of the city or the whole area, this whole urban area. It's still considering cheap to live here if you compare to other places. It's really young. You have a great university here. Yeah. You have a really, like, even in East Germany, when you look at the scales about where people are, we have a lot of cities, they are on a right-wing scale.
Right.
A lot of young and angry people living in there. But here in Leipzig, it's more like, it's more leftish. So we have more problems with left and right. But you have so many young families. So it's actually, it's been for many years the fastest growing city, not only in Germany, also in Europe for many years, because it's just because the living quality isn't bad here.
So my thinking is, okay, so you have a young, fun, vibrant church and you're attracting these young adults. Do you think also you're going to find that these business people and these advanced educated people are going to find their way into church?
Yes, definitely. We see that in one of the other locations that is a little bit more outside, more to Chemnitz. It's a different town, city.
Right.
But this is the largest location we have. And there we see not just a lot of families, but we see a lot of business people, young business people, entrepreneurs, and also creative people really joining and finding their way in. I think it was, for us, even quite interesting or quite a learning curve to how to pass to those people.
Sure.
Because I'm not a businessman.
Sure.
I'm a church planter. And before that, I was a nurse. So, but to understand their world and to see them, to recognize, to value them as well.
Totally.
Because they are not the type of people that are serving every Sunday.
No, and well, so a lot of them are not there on Sunday because they're out doing business.
Yes.
And so learning to understand their rhythms and how they actually do life is pretty important. I just did a business person's gathering in Amsterdam a couple of days ago with some of Steve Warren's business group.
Yeah.
And they are in a fantastic area where they're going to attract many, many business people. And I've always had a heart for the business community because I think businessmen face trials that not a lot of people understand.
Yes. Yes.
And often they feel very reluctant to talk about their pain or their challenges, their difficulties, because it could jeopardize their position in the company.
Definitely.
And they don't know where to go to. And so they often suffer alone. And so I felt for these guys, and also the fact that most churches tended to not celebrate people who were doing well in life. They tended to tolerate them and have a kind of a raised eyebrow or a furrowed brow, sort of suspicious or condemning about money and wealth, et cetera. So I made sure that we had an environment in C3SYD that celebrated people who are doing well. And so we had some of the top real estate salespeople in the country in our church. We had Olympic champions. We had people who were doing well in life as well. And then any people who were coming in that were a bit broken, or dysfunctional, or had a very challenging background, they had models celebrated in front of them that they could aspire to. And so I always felt that these guys, and I had three different groups. We had the Pastor's Table, Pathfinders, and Vision Builders. And the Pastor's Table was the smallest group, and I made sure that I would meet with all those guys.
Yeah.
And not really talk about business practice, but actually bring the God stuff. As one of them said to me, they said, we don't want to know about another business meeting. We don't want another business inspiration session. No. Just bring the God stuff. And so we would pray for them and share the word of God with them. And they would find wisdom, faith, and strength coming into their life. Just in that way.
And what we found was so many business people just appreciate that. Just mm-hmm. being under your care. And like even mm-hmm. we have some of our business guys in like running a home group
right.
or whatever. So we have them in leadership circles as well. And just they appreciate so much if you talk about leadership principles. Mm-hmm. They know all the leadership principles because they have running business and they're doing well.
Yeah.
But they love the connection with the gospel and
for sure.
so much.
For sure.
And we have so many business people that echoed us like, oh, we just took that and brought it in our team and
right.
and doing that
totally.
With them and because they love the connection with the gospel. And we actually have a great connection with it. We are not running it, but I love the idea so much. There's a business crew around in Leipzig and they do have business breakfast just for Christians.
Right.
Prayer breakfast.
Right.
Where they come once a month and just they share their heart. They mm-hmm. share the problems of their businesses, of people, of money. And then they just pray for each other.
Exactly.
Same with pastors, Nate.
Yes. And I think Mattis, it's important to have a smaller group of business guys that can get together because my experience was when there were 10 or 12, they would be okay about saying, well, I'm having problems with my teenage boy. We really hit a snag with our finances this last week. The accountant found some real problems. But then when the group got to 30, they'd say, the government's passing this legislation, the contracts are getting more. They'd talk about the marketplace. And when it got, say 100, then nobody's really talking, unloading their hearts. So I think creating spaces where they can feel it's small enough to just share something that's going to stay within the circle.
It's great.
Really helps a lot.
Yes. It's the same idea with Connect Groups, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Bring people small together.
Yeah.
They take away their masks.
Yeah.
Start sharing.
No doubt.
Praying for each other.
Yeah.
Weeping for each other. It's a lot of that. It's great.
Well, I think the C3 home in Leipzig,
Leipzig.
I'm sorry.
If you know how the other location cities pronounce, you die. Because it's Leipzig, that's easy. The other one is Limbach Oberfrohna. And the other one is Ludwigslust-Parchy.
So I'm having trouble even with Leipzig.
And now you know why we call ourselves C3 Home. Because the name's got too difficult for us.
Helps immensely. So
yes.
Leipzig, I'm gonna get it right every time from here on in. Forgive me. Yeah, but it has been really good chatting with you.
Thanks.
Mattis. And I know without any doubt your church is going to keep flourishing, thriving, and growing because you guys are so vibrant yourselves and magnetic in terms of bringing people in. And I think you're relevant to your context here in such a great way.
Thank you.
I think you've got an unstoppable church here.
Thank you very much, Pastor. We love to have you here.
Amen. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. Check out more content on the C3 Church Global Instagram and YouTube page. C3 is a movement of many hundreds of churches around the world, Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and connect-driven. So wherever you are around the world, I encourage you to find a C3 church near you. See you again soon.